Breakfast for the brothers and sisters was served in the estate's upper kitchen, not the banquet hall. It was a brightly lit yellow room, with a wide table set for 15. Breakfast was served buffet style, while father and mother had their meals delivered to them. After breakfast, Happy encouraged me to explore and get to know people. I started walking, and it seemed that the property just kept going and going. The place was huge. There were rows and rows of gardens, greenhouses, lakes and tennis courts. I'd heard at breakfast that there was a pool and I was excited to see it. I skipped down the lawn searching for it, but when I got closer to take a look, I was shocked by the swimmers that I saw. Full-grown women in the crystal blue pool in full-length dresses, covered in ruffles and lace. I decided to scope out fishing spots on the property's ponds. I also went into the greenhouses, where I met more followers. I started to think my role at Woodmont would be entertainer. Many of the people seemed sad, but cheered up when I came to visit, so I did my thing, watching people do their work, trying to make them laugh. On the third night, Happy Love said, "I have to go to town tonight." It was part of his routine to take the laundry to the Divine Lorraine Hotel and have it washed and pressed. He said he was planning to grab dinner and visit his sister, who lived with the women downtown. "I will be back tomorrow," Happy said. "Can you take me with you?" "No, Master Tommy. You'll be fine. Marty will watch you." I hung my head, but managed a disappointed, "Okay, Happy." I had an even harder time getting to sleep without Happy. In that dark, dark room in that dark, dark corner, I fought to get to sleep. Finally, I started to drift off. Suddenly, I felt a hand touch my stomach and startle me out of sleep. As soon as I opened my mouth to scream, a hand came down on my face and covered my mouth. A whisper in the dark, "Nobody knows you're here. Remember those rifles?" It was Marty. That night Marty stole from me. He stole my innocence. He stole my sense of safety. He stole my sense of self and left me terrified of the dark, he finished, leaving me a husk of myself, and said, "You will do better next time." Next time. I thought, no way. I lay in the dark, with him sleeping feet away from me, paralyzed with fear. In the pitch black darkness, that demon who had just abused me, was snoring and sleeping peacefully, as I stared at the blankness toward the ceiling. I had no Happy, no Father Divine to protect me. I wished I could go back to the beatings. They were better than this shit. I lay awake in the dark, deciding who I was going to be. The next morning, Marty jumped out of bed like nothing out of the ordinary had happened. I went for breakfast and ate in silence. I decided I needed a walk. I walked past the brothers' quarters to the orchards. When the peacocks saw me, they started screaming their heads off. I darted past them to the honeybee hives and into the trees when the first shots rang out. Marty was smiling as he aimed his gun at me, sending me a warning. I ran from the shots to the edge of the property and quickly made a big decision. I knew who I was going to be. I ran back to the house, through the staff entrance by the upper kitchen. I shouted, asking someone to call Mississippi St. Mary Bloom. She came quickly, and I told her everything. She listened in silence as I gave her every horrible detail. "Now he's shooting at me," I shouted. I waited to see if she believed me. "I heard the shots," she said. Her smile was gone. She sent me to wait in the great hall, outside the music room. I sat on a Victorian sofa by the window and watched as they escorted Marty off the estate. Mississippi St. Mary came back and promised me, "You will never see him again." When Happy returned to the property, I could see in his face that he knew what had happened. He looked full of shame. "You left me for one night," I howled. "I'm so sorry, Tommy," he said. "See what happened. You promised to always look out for me." "Happy. I know, Master Tommy." He apologized over and over again. I did eventually forgive him. He couldn't know that would happen, but it still happened. None of the adults had thought about what it really meant to take on an unprotected child. I believed Happy wanted the best for me, but I felt the need to take my safety into my own hands. At that evening's banquet, while I was again 4 chairs down from Father Divine, I gestured for him to call me up. He smiled at me and nodded that I could approach. "Peace, Father," I said.
"Peace, Master Tommy," he replied.
"Something very bad happened to me, Father," I said.
"I know," he replied seriously.
"I don't think I can live with anyone else," I said. "I really want to have my own room and bathroom." This was an extraordinary request. Nobody, other than Father Divine himself, had their own room, not even Mother Divine. He didn't hesitate.
"Absolutely."
He never spoke with me about what had happened, and his acknowledgement that it did was enough for me. I was so relieved to have my own room that I didn't bring it up again. My things were moved down the hall to a private bedroom. It was a small room, simple like all the others, but it was my own. It had bunk beds and a door that led to the outside. It also had its own small bathroom. I was relieved to have privacy. The only downside was that now my room faced those screaming peacocks. Shortly after, Father made an announcement that sent excitement through the movement. It was time for me to visit other properties and meet the others.